everyone to another episode of For the Love of Cinema. As always, my name is Grayson Maxwell, and joined by my co-host.
Hey everyone, it's Nick Morris.
Nick, how's the week been treating you, buddy?
You know what? It's been quite all right.
Has it been?
Yeah.
Wait, was this past Monday where the groundhog told us we're in for 6 more weeks of winter?
Yes.
That little bastard told us 6 more weeks of winter.
The snow's already starting to melt.
Well, it is. Recently, it's been pretty warm. This weekend was not bad. It was, you know, on the day we're recording on Sunday, it is 50 degrees, and it feels certainly like spring is here. Mm-hmm. But that we've learned in the past not to get too excited for the warm weather because it gets cold again and snows with a vengeance. So there's always that. What have you been watching on? Have you been breaking your New Year's resolution?
Yes.
This week.
I watched Cloverfield Paradox.
Ooh.
And I don't know if you checked that out.
Not yet. I'm going to this week, but not yet.
It was interesting. You know, there was what felt like a couple holes in it. Obviously, it's called Cloverfield Paradox, and they make it very clear in the movie that a paradox has happened.
Well, but, I mean, I would hope in a movie called Paradox that a paradox happened. You know what? I was talking to some people this weekend who saw it and were very upset by how bad it was.
Mm-hmm.
And was this one advertised as being released like months ago? This is the one they were going to release in theater, or was that a different one?
Because
there's another one on the way too.
Well, that was my question, because I know we talked about there being a Cloverfield project coming out soon.
2018, but it was due out like weeks ago, and then it got pushed back till I think April. But I still haven't seen anything about it on the docket. Yeah. So,
and I, far be it from me, I have no idea if this is it. But if it was,
because it was called Cloverfield 2017, but got pushed back into 2018. So who knows? Well, that's good. I watched some good stuff on Netflix. Well, one we're gonna talk about later. My official streaming. Actually, I didn't realize that James Mangold, the same guy who made Logan, made this one a few years prior. So that's cool. But I watched, what else did I watch this week on Netflix? Watched some bad comedies.
Yeah.
Sometimes you just get in the mood to laugh.
I also watched what was the comedy you watched?
It was, I don't know if it was on Netflix or Amazon, but it was the Dane Cook movie, I forget what it's called, the one where he... Employee of the Month.
Oh, man.
It got some laughs.
Dude, yeah, I mean, I...
It's got some laughs.
That's one of those movies where, you know, Dane Cook was at his... at the top of his game.
That was at his peak. Yeah. Like, that was 2006. Like, that was his year. Exactly. And then the whole Louis C.K. thing happened. He was in what... He was in Employee of the Month, Mr. Brooks, or was that 2007? Maybe a year later, 2007. Mm-hmm. But Mr. Brooks was right around that time. What was the other one? And, Employee of the Month, Mr. Brooks, and there was another one, wasn't there? Good Luck Chuck.
Good Luck Chuck.
With the super hot Jessica Alba.
Oh, yeah.
But they had zero chemistry. It wasn't like they didn't have enough chemistry. They had none.
Yeah,
zero
chemistry. Yeah, you kind of feel that in the movie.
Yeah.
I just recently finished Twin Peaks.
Oh, there you go.
And I love the first two seasons. I watched those on Netflix months ago. And so I didn't have to wait 20 years.
That's good.
Yeah. But I love the show. It's just, this new season was kind of hard to watch at times.
You think so?
Yeah, I mean.
Not really a Twin Peaks person. I'm gonna watch it all one day, but that day has not yet arrived. Yeah. So.
I mean, David Lynch, he's a visionary, but it gets slow at times.
I mean, every episode can't be action-packed.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, there was some Game of Thrones episode, not that you know, because you're still trying to get caught up on season one, episode one.
Yeah.
But, I mean, there are some episodes that just aren't as eventful as others, but, you know.
I mean, it happens.
Well, that's good. Glad you're breaking your New Year's resolution every day. we're going to talk about MoviePass in a bit, how they're actually lowering the price of another MoviePass. I find this very interesting, but MoviePass being entered. We're going to talk about some actress had a car accident on a big movie. We're going to talk about that. And, of course, Han Solo news. But first, as always, box office. I know some people are really excited about this. I actually talked to someone who listens regularly, and he says he really enjoys the box office.
Nice.
So, you know, I do enjoy hearing about the box office. Maybe 10's a bit much. But.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's interesting when we get through the first... the first five or...
I agree.
Or, first eight, the ones that are fighting for spots.
So, Jumanji is no longer number one. It's been pushed out to number 4 this week. I know. But number 1, as zero surprise should be, at least for the first week, 50 Shades Freed. Yeah, it didn't do... it has a budget of $55 million, and you'd think being this one being the last one, and especially with the tagline, don't miss the climax, having him double, you know, more than one meaning. Worldwide, it's only done 136. I'm a little disappointed. I thought that'd be a bigger number. But, I just don't think people, for the most part, I think they're kind of over the whole, like, oh my god, 50 Shades of the movie? Like, you know what I mean? Like, I think it's...
There's already been two of them.
Yeah. I mean, and the second one was horrendously bad. Like, it's not even funny how bad that was.
Do you think it will stay strong?
No. I think we're going to see...
Valentine's Day coming up?
I think we're going to see at least a 50 or 60% drop, if not 75% drop.
I mean, that wouldn't surprise me
at all. I cannot see people watch... Like, anyone who's... Of that 136 million... Those are the hardcores, man. Yeah. They're not going to watch it twice. Why would they watch it twice? I'm sure the movie doesn't have enough substance for once, let alone twice. But we'll see. I mean, that's what we're going to talk about next week. So there's that one. Peter Rabbit. I'm surprised it's number 2. $50 million budget. Domestic has only made 25. Not wonderful. Not great at all. But it's... I actually am looking forward to watching this one. I know Daisy Ridley, Ray from Episode 8 and Episode 7, Margot Robbie, Rose Byrne, James Corden, Domhnall Gleeson, and Elizabeth Debicki, they all have Sam Neill, they all have voices. It's got a pretty good cast. I love the trailer. I think it's incredibly brilliant.
Yeah, it looks interesting. I mean, it's, you know, this guy just comes in, you know, he's sitting on the old girl that takes care of the rabbit. And
yeah, I love those scenes where, like, him and the rabbit are, like, they're battling over the girl. And it's, I think it's like they might as well just be two men fighting over a girl, but like one's a rabbit. So I'm really looking forward to it. So I'm excited to watch that this week. The 15-17 to Paris, number 3, Clint Eastwood with Jenna Fischer and Judy Greer. $30 million budget so far, only done $17 million. That's disappointing.
Yeah.
I will say that is incredibly disappointing. But we'll see. Yeah. Maybe the whole, like, the whole run on Clint Eastwood movies, like, oh, we had a Clint Eastwood movie, I gotta go see it. Maybe that's, like, the hype has, like, died down on that.
Probably. Because, I mean, well, what was the last film he came out with that he directed?
What was the last one? I don't know. Probably should look that up. Oh, Sully.
Sully, okay. So
Sully did phenomenal money. Yeah, and that was... 125 million. And then American Sniper did 350 million. But this one's just not doing... Well, here's what I find interesting. Because he did Mystic River in 2003... Million Dollar Baby, 2004, and then Flags of Our Father, Letter from Iwo Jima, that split movie, that was 2006, and then we move into, like, the, like, when he really started to Changeling, Gran Torino, Invictus, which is phenomenal, by the way, Invictus, Hereafter, J. Edgar, kind of leave a little bit to be desired, Jersey Boys, which I've heard, I didn't see the full thing, but I've heard people who just, they just don't like it.
Yeah.
American Sniper, Sully, and 1517 to Paris. A pretty strong, from 2008 on, pretty strong list. But we'll see where he goes from here. But we are going to talk about that one next week. I'm actually excited to talk about that one.
I am too. And one thing to put in here, maybe it's because they aren't, you know, well-known actors. You know, there's no real actor.
There's no real big... Well, Jenna Fischer and Judy Greer. But,
okay. Well, but...
Again, if you didn't... If someone's not like... If someone wasn't like, oh, where are they from? Like, I don't think people would know, would be able to,
They are the people who lived it, and they are telling it.
So, I mean, that's pretty cool, but. And then number 4, Jumanji, $90 million budget, $881 million.
Oh, man.
This is, if someone before this came out would have been like, this is going to make almost $1 billion, I'd have been like, you are, that is not true.
You are crazy.
I'm going to bet you my entire life saving, boom, and then right now I'd be penniless because, jeez. No, I can't believe that money.
I mean, I think it'll probably break the 900 mark. You think?
I think it's running out of steam, man.
Yeah.
Because we were at 850 like 3 weeks ago. We were talking about it. It's only come up 30 million. So I mean, it's.
That's true.
But you're right. I mean, the DVD sales, digital sales, are definitely going to push it over the top. But that won't be factored into box office. But. Yeah. And I'm sure if the script isn't bumbling around for a second one. I'm sure there will be very soon. Yeah. So, and he also mentioned he's going to remake. He wants to remake Mrs. Doubtfire, Which, I love that movie. I love Mrs. Doubtfire. I don't know how it's going to work, but, I mean, this one worked okay.
That'd be interesting.
Well, we will see. The Greatest Showman, holding strong, number 5. It actually dropped one spot. $84 million. $314 million worldwide. $84 million was the budget. I'm actually happy with that.
Yeah, no, that's...
For a musical to break $300 million these days, that's pretty good. So,
that's awesome.
Maze Runner, The Death Cure, when we talked about last week. $62 million budget, up to $229 million. I think they're really happy about that franchise.
Yeah.
What's that?
Yeah, I mean, there's nothing to be sad about that franchise. I mean, it's...
Got some good moments, it really does. Yeah,
it's damn good, and I don't know, do you think it... Where did it drop from? It dropped pretty high, didn't it?
It dropped what?
It dropped pretty... it was up on the list, probably like...
Yeah, it actually was number 2 last week, now it's number 6. Yeah. So, I think people are running out of steam on that one, but...
Yeah.
Winchester, number 3. Sorry, number 7 this week, number 3 last week. No budget given, only $17 million worldwide. Or sorry, domestic. Which is weird because I watched this movie on a weeknight and the theater was damn near full. If it wasn't at capacity, it couldn't have been less than 15 or 20 seats away from capacity. It was a decent-sized auditorium, maybe 300 seats. It was 7 o'clock on a weeknight, not a Friday, not a Monday. So I think it was a Tuesday night I watched it. And it was full. It was a lot of teenagers. So I'm surprised it only done $17 million. Maybe it'll pick up.
That's interesting. I mean,
I agree.
When I went and saw it... on a Friday, around 7 o'clock. I mean, the theater wasn't full, but there's a good amount of people in there, you know?
It's always nice. I mean, if you walk into a movie and it's one of the first 3 weeks of opening and on a Friday or Saturday and there's zero crowd in there, that's a problem.
Yeah.
So I'm glad that
people
are watching it. The Post, Academy Award winning, no, Academy nominated The Post. $50 million budget, $123 million. That is, as far as I'm concerned, far exceeded expectations. But and closer as we creep closer towards the Oscars, that movie will maintain its money-making prowess for now. The Shape of Water, number 9. It's still hanging in there. I'm proud of that. $74 million worldwide, no budget given. Boy, I hope the movie wins. I hope the movie wins stuff. I really hope it just walked away with some awards.
How many awards is it nominated for?
It's quite a few. More than just like a handful, like quite a few. So I'm really excited for that one. Den of Thieves, number 10. this movie, hanging on strong. $57 million worldwide, though. It's not terrible. Of the market, the domestic's 40, foreign 16. That's about right.
And we were talking about, before this movie came out, Gerard Butler.
Like, is he done? He's been surviving off the 300 for a long time now. I mean, let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean, of course.
Yeah, he's been surviving off 300 now for quite a while. I don't think he's a household name as he once was.
No.
Or, like, I don't think he has the pull that he may have. It doesn't matter what movie he did after 300. That movie would have made tons of money and everyone would have saw it. But, like, he's not that guy anymore.
Yeah.
So... Although I do like him in the first two How to Train Your Dragons.
Respectable.
And he will not be in the third one. Spoiler alert. He will not be in the third one. So that's your box office. Nothing too surprising. Except I think Peter Rabbit being number 2. I am surprised by that. I'm happy about that. Honest to God, I am. And that means... So this past weekend, 50 Shades Freed, Peter Rabbit, 1517 to Paris. Interesting how that's... The 1, 2, and 3. They all came out this past week. February 16th, we are just a few days away after this podcast posts from Black Panther and Early Man. February 23rd, Every Day, Annihilation, Game Night. March 2nd, Alpha, Death Wish, Red Sparrow. March 9th, A Wrinkle in Time, The Strangers, Pray at Night, Hurricane Heist, Gringo, The Upside. And then March 16th, Tomb Raider, Love, Simon, and Flower. I'm excited for two of those. Not really Flower, but maybe I'll get more excited as we get closer to Flower. I'm excited for Tomb Raider, though, because maybe they'll get a video game movie right.
Yeah, and this one seems like it's more acquainted with the newer Tomb Raider.
Oh, yeah, of course. Yeah, it's 100% acquainted.
It looks kind of badass.
And, like, I like Alicia Vikander, because a good buddy of mine said something, like, really sunk in. He goes, she's doing it right. She won awards, and now she's doing the kind of riskier stuff. Yeah, the risky business. Isn't that kind of interesting? Yeah. That's interesting. And as a further note, this movie, I'm sure, will pave the way or allow heavy influences for the Uncharted films and the Last of Us movie, which are in production.
Whoa.
So, or at least, I don't know what stage, but they are definitely, like, past rumor stage. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, people have gathered and there's offices. So, that's exciting.
That's awesome.
I mean, look, there aren't many very good video game movies. And there are good stories to tell in games. I'm really excited for The Last of Us. That's a hell of a game. I'm so excited. I mean, that is the Citizen Kane of gaming. Mm-hmm. It is the best as far as stories told. And the quality of overall story, voice acting, characters, is just phenomenal. Mm-hmm. Like, you just don't get better than that.
Exactly. And, I mean, such a well-written game.
Yeah.
So, you're going to say, that was... Am I thinking, was that when PS4 kind of first came out?
Actually was towards the end of the PS3's life cycle.
Okay.
But then when the PS... It came out not too long after the PS4 launch. It came out remastered in PlayStation 4. Okay. But you definitely check that out. If nothing else, watch or listen, however you want to experience it, on YouTube. I'm sure someone's cut it through, like, the entire narrative without gameplay. It's just story. So you can enjoy it like that. You can kind of get involved in the universe, kind of see what it's like. But Last of Us is going to be a benchmark for games and movies.
I think they're doing a second
one. Oh, yeah. It's due out this year, 2018. Oh. I think they may have 2018. I don't know. Maybe 2019, but super excited either way. That means 1 week till Black Panther Early Man, well, a few days when this posts. Every day, Annihilation Game Night, only 2 weeks away. Alpha, Red Sparrow. 3 weeks. You get to see some Jennifer Lawrence side boob.
Oh, yeah.
Lots of it. A Wrinkle in Time, 4 weeks away. And for those of you, if you are a middle school kid having to be listening, that's always been on the, what do you call it? Suggested. The summer reading list?
Yeah.
It's always been on the summer reading list. So that'll be cool. And Tomb Raider and Love, Simon, just 5 weeks away. Now, I want to talk about... A little video that finally surfaced is the Tarantino Uma Thurman video. Here's what's interesting is because of all of the Weinstein stuff, I think she was able to finally get the footage.
Mm-hmm.
And so you've seen the video.
Oh yeah. Ooh,
and at the time of this posting, I'll put it on the Facebook site so you can go. If you haven't seen it, by all means, check out the Facebook page. Click on the link. It's right there for you. It is the driving scene in one of the Kill Bill movies. Was it the second one?
I believe so, yeah.
Second Kill Bill movie. And she's driving, it's actually her, Uma Thurman, driving a car, which is weird because I did a little research in the backstory. She did not want to drive.
And it was a set car, you know. It was a one that's not really safe, I would say.
Well, that's just something that a stunt person would usually do.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, right? Which is, but, so the thing, there's a scene where she's driving down this little tiny narrow. It's in the movie. She's driving down this little tiny road, and not in the movie. and she kind of spins out of control when she goes around this turn, and she hits a tree. And the interesting part is, if you watch the video and you count like 1,000, 2,000, it's like 20 seconds before anyone arrives to help her. I mean, why is it that? I'll tell you what would happen and this is from my limited experience, like, limited experiences, like, actually on set with Dark Knight Rises and how they did stunts. If there was a stunt being performed at high speeds, there was, I mean, within one car length, there was an ambulance following close behind or some kind of medic response team just in case. So that's, and from watching, like, behind the scenes of DVDs, when you watch, like, for instance, like some of the Batman movies or, like, the Michael Bay movies, you see, like, there's always a section you can watch about how we did this crash or how we did that explosion.
Yeah.
And then they always talk about safety is the absolute most important thing. Of course. Which is weird how it wasn't important in this.
Yeah, and I mean, from the article that I read and I sent you, from what the stunt coordinators say, they weren't on the set or they were, maybe they weren't personally left off. And that's a whole thing right there, right? I mean,
that's a big deal.
Yeah,
that's a big deal. I don't know how they got around that legally.
Yeah, exactly.
But that's a whole mess. I'm just, and Uma's like, she's still complaining that she's got problems mm-hmm. from that crash, and that those movies came out. The first one was
2004.
Yeah. They came out. Like there was in the same, you know, there was like 8 month period where they both mm-hmm. came out. Like that was a long time ago.
Yeah.
To just now be seeing that footage resurface,
right?
That's interesting. I don't even know. This whole Weinstein has cost him way more than just being a creepy old dude who likes to touch women. Like, it's cost, yeah. I mean, anyone, like, Tarantino now, of course, is now being bad-mouthed in the spotlight mm-hmm. because of this crash.
Yeah.
It's, I mean, I just, how much further does Weinstein stuff go? I'm kidding. I mean, that's just fun to talk about, debate. I'm glad Uma's okay.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
But, I mean, it's a little alarming to me how long it took for anyone to get to help her.
Mm-hmm.
It's just, it's incredible. I mean, it's, I know Tarantino is kind of that guy that wants production value, as in he wants everyone to be in the shot. Mm-hmm. Like, if it's that character being, he wants that person. But the weird thing is, you only see the back of her head.
Yeah.
So it could have been anyone. Mm-hmm. It could have been you, Nick, with the wig on. Like, yeah. It could have been, but it wasn't. So.
Well, yeah, there's a couple other things, you know, just, I don't know if she knew how to drive stick. I think the car was.
Was it manual?
I think it was at first manual, and then maybe they did a little bit of a change to it.
I read the article you gave me. I just don't remember some of the specifics.
Yeah.
I know it was a road she was unfamiliar with because the road they had practiced, it had changed.
Mm-hmm.
So I know she was unfamiliar with it, hadn't done a lot of practicing. So anyway, that's a whole issue. Kind of a mess. I'm kind of on the side of for her against, yeah. you know, Weinstein, Miramax, who did. I'm kind of against it because, I mean, safety is the most important thing.
Yeah, exactly.
And here's a question. Let's say things would have gotten way out of control and she would have been paralyzed or, much worse, killed. Your whole movie's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Right.
You got nothing after that. I mean, what do you do?
And you're probably condemned. Especially if, you know, you don't have the safety coordinators on set.
So why take the risk?
Yeah.
That's my question, is why take the risk? But, I mean, like I said, even from being on, like, the few things I've been on, like, versus I was on Out of the Furnace, there's a couple of gunshots. Even though it was in a very controlled environment, and it was, they had practiced it a million times, and there's a scuffle, there's always someone standing by within, just off camera, right? If something got hurt or something actually went off, or God forbid, live ammunition for whatever reason, they could take care of it and deal with it. You know what I mean? Like,
that's some Bruce Lee stuff.
That's right. You know, it's weird that this footage surfaced. It's very interesting, very weird, but,
you know, every director talks about getting that shot, but that's not that scene. To get that shot.
Could have been anybody. It could have been anyone with a wig. It could have been her stand-in. It could have been anybody. There's no reason she had to be driving that car.
Yeah.
Moving on a little bit. Michael Bay. I love him. If you're listening, Michael Bay, I love you. He's moving on from Transformers. That we've known for a while. To Lobo. A DC comic hero I am very unfamiliar with. I did a little bit of research. I know it's very violent. So it's kind of up Michael Bay's alley as far as gunfights, explosions, mm-hmm. that kind of thing. So we'll see how he deals it. Jason Fuchs, who was involved in Wonder Woman, will also be involved in this. At least there's a script going around. So it's very early stages, but you know what? A lot of people are happy to see him lead Transformers. I'm not. Because without Michael Bay, I don't think the first Transformers movie would have been as good as it was.
No. Definitely.
The rest would have been probably a little better, but I think the first one is what set the tone for how phenomenal that franchise could mm-hmm. be if it was done right. I mean, I think that exceeded a lot of people's expectations. I mean, even Rodra said in episodes past, he's a huge Transformers fan, and that movie far exceeded his expectations, mm-hmm. what he thought the movie was going to be.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Michael Bay can work wonders. He also did The Rock, one of the best action movies in the world. Like, that's a great action movie. I mean, then again, there are also a ton of other younger directors involved at the time, but, I mean, he got the credit for directing, so that's a hell of a movie. Mm-hmm. He's done some interesting stuff. I really like The Island, even though I don't think it was received very well. with Sean Bean and Ewan McGregor about you people could pay money to have two, like, doubles of themselves grown in case they need like a heart or lung transplant. Yeah. And then they realize they try to escape, and it's kind of a cool concept.
Yeah, yeah. That is a pretty cool concept.
Sean Bean dies in that one as well.
I think I've definitely heard about that movie.
You should check it out. Yeah. Tons of car chases from very Bad Boy 2. Yeah. You know, Golden Sunlight, you know. I actually watched that again recently. I don't know. I actually dig that Bad one Boys? Out. No, The Island. And Bad Boys. Probably watch Bad Boys. Yeah. Why not? Why not? I mean, we got that show coming out, or the green lit. The Bad Boys 2 show. Not Bad Boys 2, but like the character of Sid. Mm-hmm. We talked about that in an episode past. Maybe that episode you were not here for. Mm. There's a. Do you even listen to the show, Nick?
Yeah, of course. Sometimes.
They're doing a TV show for Sid's character, set in that world. I guess just move people, like tie people over for Bad Boys 3. But, yeah. So that'll be cool. And Han Solo, as we all know, it got a teaser from the Super Bowl spot. It's actually one of the trailers we're going to talk about. And there's a couple pictures have surfaced from the studio, from Ron Howard. It's one of the pictures is Han and Chewie in the cockpit. Han's got this weird grin on his face like he's doing something he shouldn't be doing. Mm-hmm. Maybe the Kessel Run? Maybe. Maybe. I don't know.
Under 12 parsecs?
Yeah. In one picture, he's smoozing an incredibly hot girl that's very J.J. Abrams Star Trek-esque. So, by the way, the trailer, that's very J.J. Abrams-esque, that trailer.
It felt like it.
Yeah, that absolutely had his visual style, had the feel, it had everything about it. So, it had the feel of Star Trek, I will say, and J.J.'s, you know, responsible for that, for the reboot there. Then there's a picture of him and the Millennium Falcon talking to people. People are doing something on the table, maybe playing chess. And there's a picture of the Falcon at Hyper Jump. Then there's a picture of Danny Glover's character, or not Danny Glover,
Donald
Glover's character in the cantina. And then they have a magazine cover. It has Han and Chewie staying there like they're in love. Really weird, but all right. Ron Howard. Okay.
All right, Ron.
Aldin Ehrenreich, I definitely mispronounced that one, is playing the young Han Solo. But here's what kills it for me. He's dead. His character is gone from the story.
Well, yeah.
So no matter how cool you make him, he was killed by a child. Ren. Kylo. Yeah. He was killed by Kylo Ren.
His own son.
I mean... Spoiler. Allegedly. I mean, no, I'm kidding. It just, to me, that kind of takes the character, the coolness away from Han Solo.
Well, I mean, Han Solo, maybe after this movie it'll be Alden, Ehrenreich, but it's always going to be Harrison Ford.
Yeah, but no one can replace Harrison Ford. Let's be honest.
Yeah, I mean.
Let's be honest.
But it's definitely going to be interesting to see this movie and what it's going to turn out to be. I just don't want to be a flop.
I bet you this movie was started and stopped a million times. And I'm not even talking about recently. I'm talking about over the past, probably since Star Wars, a Han Solo origin movie. Like, I'm sure the movie's been kicked around. I don't know how far it got in stages, but I'm sure somewhere in the party of George Lucas, we should do a Han Solo's movie. And George's like, Jar Jar Binks, Jar Jar Binks. More Jar Jar Binks.
Hey, I would pay to see a Jar Jar Binks movie.
You know, I had dinner with some friends last night, very late, like 2 in the morning. Went to an all-night place, and he was telling me that this at the Star Wars movie I didn't know, that George Lucas originally intended for Jar Jar Binks to be a Sith Lord.
I heard that, too.
Are you kidding me?
No, I definitely did, and I don't know what part of the internet I found it on, but...
the darkest part.
Yeah, the darkest. Jesus. That would be very interesting. Unlimited
power. The part with unlimited power. I cannot believe that decision was ever made in his head, and for what reason. I can only imagine, like, Rick McCallum be like, what have I put my money into? What have I put my money into?
Did you just say you want him to be of the Sith Lord?
Let me just make sure I heard you right before I punch you in the face. But so that's, you know, any Han Solo movie information we get, it'll be cool because they haven't screwed that up yet. Now, Ron Howard is a very competent filmmaker, a very competent director. I don't think this movie will be bad. Maybe campy, maybe silly, but I don't see it being bad. Mm-hmm. Zack Snyder. This is, I think, new in the debate world of what would happen. But so in the DC universe, we all know Zack Snyder started Justice League. He did not finish Justice League.
Yeah.
Joss Whedon stepped in. And so the story is, when we're first given his daughter passed, Zack Snyder's daughter passed, and he took time to deal with, to spend time with his family and his wife and you know, kind of deal with their daughter passing, which is fine.
It's absolutely very respectable. I mean, you know, come on.
But now more has come out that he didn't quit. He was let go and used his daughters as a cover, I guess, to, even though that's how, as weird as that is. Yeah. So what I could gather is, so the movie had problems from the get-go, had tonal problems. Snyder was clashing with the studio, with Warner Brothers, and there was problems, always problems. So Joss Whedon stepped in when that tragedy happened, and even though Snyder tried to throw himself in his work, kind of like forget about what his personal, what home issues were he had, apparently it was unfixable, and Whedon was already there, and that was, they just let him, they just removed Snyder from the movie. Yeah. So, what do you think about that new news?
I don't like it. You know, anytime you're working on something that feels personal, then especially for Zack Snyder.
Snyder is Nolan's boy. Like,
yeah,
he worked with Nolan, but like Nolan was producing. You know why? I just don't understand where the big miscommunication was in Justice League.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder what the hell happened. Like, where was the?
I think we've been asking ourselves that question for
since it came out.
Yeah.
What? How can Avengers be so good and Justice League just not? You know what I mean? Like, how?
That is a very good question. I mean, the Avengers movie, the whole Marvel universe. They're not all winners. But
I mean, they might as well have a license to print money.
Yeah, exactly.
They all make damn near $1 billion.
And
so
that's the whole difference between DC and Marvel. Is Marvel's making the money. DC's still making money, but they're not putting out the effort. You know what?
They're making the money because it's DC, and comic book fans are everywhere, and that's great. Mm-hmm. And people, you know, love their lore, they love their comics. But they're not making it on strength of film, strength of story. They're not making it on that kind of stuff. So, I mean, I don't know how I feel about this, only because Snyder, even though he's not, I don't think he's A-list, he's certainly not A-list, but he's not a bad director either. I mean, he's made some good stuff.
Yeah.
You know, so, I mean, I wish to be a fly on the wall in these conversations that happen on the on the executive studio level about who's they need to remove and why. It's like, that would be so interesting. Oh, my goodness. Just find a GoPro and just put it up and put a microphone on it.
Yes.
Have a million hits in 45 seconds.
Did someone see you put this in here?
Someone see it. We just talked, literally, just this whole meeting about Justice League and the script changes.
Oh,
and
we're live on YouTube? Oh, God.
And they do this thing where they do this. You know, they got to make sure, you know. So I mean, there's that. And one more thing, one more piece of news is the MoviePass. As you know, MoviePass is it lets you watch one movie a day for $10 a month, $120 a year, unlimited movies. So they've also now introduced a cheaper pass at $6.99 and $7.99, which allows the cheaper price is it's you pay all up front, but it's you get one movie a week. And it's even cheaper than $10. It's like $6.99 or something, $7. But it's for those of people who don't watch. I don't know how they're definitely catering to people like me who I'll pay $10 a month to watch. Wait, I don't know how that's cheaper though. $10 a month. Maybe it's not pay as you go. Maybe it's pay as like the weeks you want to use it, you pay, and the weeks you don't want to use it, you don't pay. Okay. I'll do some more research on that. But so they're catering to people like me who just. $10 a month, unlimited movies. I'm fine with that. And they're catering to people who don't watch a lot, but they might want to watch one this month. So, you know, but.
And we're seeing more
did,
of these.
Did you sign up for MoviePass?
No, I have not yet.
Is that something you plan to do or not?
Yeah, I think so. In the near future.
It's $120 bucks, man. It's one double of work, and you pay for your entire year of movies. Come on now.
And you know, well, you see so many of these, but it's for, you know, different theaters have their own kind of thing. But this is broad, right? This is
still the same program. And with the, oh, that's what you get. With the $9.99 one per month, you don't get the streaming service. There's a streaming service attached to the cheaper packages that have it's kind of like Netflix, Amazon. It's got a lot of indie stuff.
Okay.
And a lot of foreign films. So if you're into that, that's cool. But for that price point, that's a pretty good price point. One movie a week plus streaming service. That's a hell of a deal for $6.99. That beats Netflix. That's straight up beats Netflix by several dollars. So we'll see where that goes. But that's, I always find interesting. I've used MoviePass a couple of times now. I think it's the greatest. I think I'm stealing.
Mm-hmm.
Like, honest to God, I think I'm stealing. And the theaters always look at me weird. Like, oh, you have MoviePass?
Yeah.
Like, just swipe my card. Shut up. Don't judge me. Oh. Like, this is a thing that, it's, anyone can get it. It's readily available. Just, you want to sign up.
Oh, you're that MoviePass guy.
Yeah. Oh, MoviePass? Hold on. I don't know how to use it. Oh, my God.
Can we get a manager in here?
Can I get a manager to the front, please? So how it works is simple. On MoviePass, I've used it. I can say, so you bring up the app. You choose your theater. You choose the showtime. And someplace you choose your seat. And then the app loads the company loads the money onto the card. And then you swipe it. And that's your entrance. So for $120 bucks a year, you pay to watch as many movies as you want. Granted, one every day, one every 24-hour period. So that's a hell of a deal, cool.
Oh, yeah.
So, well, I'm sure we'll see some more MoviePass drama because AMC, of course, is very much against it.
Mm-hmm.
But for some reason, they're accepting it. I don't understand how that works. But
well, I've seen, and you know, you told me about the MoviePass. You know, how much is it? 120.
It's $10 a month for $120 a year.
And I mean, I've gone to. You know, I go to my Hollywood theater, you know, right down the road from where I live.
That's how much is a evening ticket there?
11, 12 bucks.
That's not terrible,
I guess. Yeah, but. And I mean, I build up points on my, you know, Regal Rewards card, you know, every...
That must be, I have a Regal Rewards card, I don't know where I got it from, but that has to be where I got it from.
Yeah, it has to be.
Interesting.
Yeah, every now and then I'll get a free movie.
Free concession?
Yeah, I try not to do that because, you know,
it's so expensive. Yeah, jeez. Exactly.
But I went to the Cinemark up in Robinson.
Okay.
And they have their own movie pass also.
Like it's their own version of
it? I think so. And it's like $8.99. You know,
it's a good deal. And, regardless, it's a good deal.
And yeah, I think it's, you know, close to like the movie pass here, you know, or. But this one was like one movie per week, and then but you also got a discount on concession and all that. Which, I mean, if that's your, you know, if that's your theater, you might be interested.
Especially discount on concession, that's a hell of a deal. I would get nachos and a Coke if it wasn't more than the goddamn price of the ticket.
Yeah.
That's ridiculous. To get nachos and a large Coke, that's like $15. That's way too much for nachos and a large Coke.
Up at Marquee, I went. 2 weeks ago, I forget what movie I was seeing, but, you know, I got there, it was probably 5 minutes till showtime, after trailers. So, you know, so I'm bridging the gap here of how close I can be. But I went up to the, you know, the cashier, and I said, hey, just give me a water and maybe some sweet tart ropes.
Some sweet tart ropes,
you know, get me in and quick, and I'll be out. And he's like, dude, you should have went to the gas station. Was like,
he said that to you?
Yeah, and yeah, exactly, right?
What an awful theater employee. Jeez.
He said, man, listen, you know, you should just go to the gas station. And Grayson, you know, I'm no saint. I've snuck in, you know, I snuck in Subway into a movie theater one time.
Good for you, man.
Yeah, you know, it's...
When I was on the employee plan, so I didn't pay from 16 to like 27. I didn't pay for a movie ever because I was always employed in a movie theater. And the things I found, and I was like, I was a pretty big Nazi for like I would, if you're not supposed to be in that movie theater, I would not, you're not getting in.
Yeah.
Like, and if I outside food or drink, you're not, I will stand in your way. You're not getting in the theater with that. Which is weird because how much hell I was always in trouble for sneaking stuff in before he hired me.
Yeah.
It's so weird because, like, it's totally flipped. But people got, like, large pizza boxes in
there. Oh, what?
I found, here's something that kills me. It's like, I found this one movie, you know, like from Subway, like the foot long, or like the 25 foot long sub.
Uh-huh.
How the hell they snuck that in there? I don't know. But I found it. I mean, pizza boxes, all kinds of, like, enormous large pizza ball. Like, how'd you get this past the gate?
That's
how'd
insane.
You do that? Like, I can't even, like, what bag did you put it in? Like, what woman's purse is that big? That I found some really weird stuff in the movie theater, believe you me, but no, movie theater concessions are out of control. I guess the argument is no, you don't need it, but we want it. It makes it, I mean, have a little Coke to sip. It's
some fresh popcorn.
Ooh,
it's butter. Gotta be fresh. I mean.
Ooh, butter. Ooh. And those toppings you can put on, like, sometimes theaters have those, like, powdered toppings.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. All, like, the ranch and the caramel. Oh, my goodness, so good. So good. But
that'll do it.
So that's you know, the whole MoviePass thing. We're going to get more into that. I'm sure that will either, I'm sure MoviePass the next year will be the biggest thing in the world, or it'll be completely canceled.
Mm-hmm.
One of the two will happen. So, trailers. Obviously, we're coming up on Black Panther by director Ryan Coogler. Chadwick Boseman, Michael B. Jordan, Andy Serkis, Lupita Nyong'o. I did not pronounce that correctly. I'm very sorry. Martin Freeman, Forrest Whitaker, many, many more. I get less and less excited for this, only because I have a buddy who's seen it in Los Angeles, and he said, "This just the hype is not warranted at all."
Mm-hmm.
Then I saw an article. Roderick sent an article about saying they're trying to keep out negative reviews of the media. So with all that kind of floating around, it's hard to.
Maybe that's because all I've seen is, like, and I haven't read into much about it because, you know, once I see the movie, I'm gonna judge it myself.
Of course.
But I've only seen, like, people talking good about it, you know. And that's interesting, you know. We talk about freedom of speech.
Of course, I mean.
But can everyone get out their opinion?
Well, I mean, you're always going to have people who don't like something and people who like it. That you cannot avoid.
Mm-hmm.
But, I mean, I don't even, my thinking on that has changed so much from the time I was in middle school. A movie was either garbage or it was great. There was nothing in between for me. But then I started watching, and then a few years later, when I was 16, I got working at the movie theater, and I watched everything I could. My point of view started to change. Because, like, you still learn things from bad movies. There's some really great scenes or really great chemistry between two actors, or a director really did a great job. I mean, you learn things from – I think you learn more from bad movies than you do from good movies. Honest to God, I do.
Oh, yeah, definitely.
So in that way, I'm kind of, like, taking the whole negative reviews with a grain of salt.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Because, I mean, I've gone into some movies with some very negative reviews, and I've ended up loving it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So – we'll see, but it's obviously, this is a big deal before we go into the Avengers movie this summer.
Oh, yeah.
So
This is definitely going to lay a path.
Yeah, well, it has to, because we still don't know what happened after Captain America leaves, after he splits from the Avengers, and then him returning to the Avengers, and there's a whole Black Panther's that middle ground, so super excited there. And Solo, A Star Wars Story. We've all seen the teaser from the Super Bowl. What did you think?
You know, I like it so far.
It's very J.J. Abrams-esque.
Yeah, and
like, that's the original director before they were replaced.
Flying through space. It's just it's gonna be a lot for people to take in, because it, you know, like I said earlier, you know, it's not Harrison Ford, and granted, maybe if they would have come out with this, you know, back in the heyday,
when was the heyday though?
Yeah, you're right.
And we also had that Kenobi movie on the horizon with Ewan.
I totally forgot
so,
about that.
So I saw a teaser for it. I don't know how legit that is, but I am super excited. I have a soft spot for Ewan. I met him on American Pastoral. I've liked a lot of movies he's been in, so I really have a soft spot for Ewan, honest to God, I do. And the character of Obi-Wan Kenobi as being the only adult in the original Star Wars movie.
One person I am excited to see is Donald Glover, multi-talented
person. Yeah, he's great.
I want to see how he takes Lando Calrissian and, you know, what his plan for that character was.
Well, in the original trilogy, doesn't the who wins the Falcon from who from a card game? Doesn't one of them win it or lose it in a card game or a high stakes
poker game or something? I'd like to think Han won it, right?
I don't remember how the conversation went. Mm-hmm. One of them won it, right? So that might be the picture we get of Danny Glover. No, I keep saying Danny Glover. Who is it?
Donald
Glover. Donald Glover in the cantina might be that game he's playing to win the Falcon. I mean, who knows? So there's, I'm excited for it. You know, when you see these things racing in the street, that is almost, I would think I was watching Star Trek, like the J.J. Abrams Star Trek. It's very J.J. Abrams-esque. We'll see where it goes. It's very early so far in the trailers. That comes out Memorial Day. Very excited there. So now moving on to our last trailer, and I think what I'm almost more excited about than anything else, I feel pretty, directed by Abby Cohn and Mark Silverstein, Amy Schumer, Michelle Williams are in this movie with, it's kind of like Shallow Hal in a way.
Yeah, and that's exactly
very what I Shallow Hal-esque. Amy Schumer is a girl who is a little bigger. Her playing character a little bigger, and of course and she says one line that I think about is, in online dating, no one reads the profile, look at the pictures. Mm-hmm. And of course, when I'm on Tinder, I don't read the profile.
you ever just play the game where you just keep swiping?
Just keep everyone, just sit there. When you're talking to someone, just do that, like, I'll totally. I love that book. That's 100% like topical and very accurate as far as our society is concerned. And then she's cycling, and it's like a spin class, and she hits her head, and she wakes up, and like she just sees herself as this very beautiful model girl, which is fine.
And it's the inner beauty
that will win out. That will be the movie is the inner beauty.
It has some very funny parts in the trailer.
I think the guy's almost funnier than Amy is. I don't know his name, but I think he's even funnier. Like, especially when she comes out, like, she's standing there naked. She's like, I thought you wanted a sneak peek. He goes, I don't think you know what sneak peek means. Reveal a little bit. Not everything.
I thought it was funny when they first meet there in the laundromat, or not the laundromat, but the cleaners. And
they've taken those numbers out of that machine now serving 16.
Yeah. He's like, what's your number? And she gets all cute and she's like,
Very clever.
Very clever. Get out your phone.
Get out your phone, I'll put it in. He's like, are you still talking? Yeah, she's like, don't quit now, Scooter. Don't stop now. Some little nickname, I don't even know what it was. But that'll be funny, I think. Amy Schumer, I think her movies are pretty funny.
Definitely have some funny parts.
Trainwreck wasn't the greatest, Snatch wasn't the greatest. I like Trainwreck. I always ask this. It ends on the basketball court, right?
Yeah.
Okay. That was pretty funny. I did not see Snatched. I heard it was not very good.
I didn't see it either. I was actually, I was on Comcast yesterday, and I see it. I'm like, no. I'm not a huge fan of Amy Schumer.
But she's funny.
Yeah, she is. I enjoyed her her show on Comedy Central when it was on. But she is a very funny person.
Moving on to the one movie we're talking about this week, Winchester, which very extremely loosely based on events.
Extremely loose.
Extremely loose. I'm sure someone thought they saw a ghost one time in that house, and that's where this whole myth and legend was born, I'm sure. But initial thoughts, here's how I do initial thoughts. It's campy, it's almost silly at times.
Yep.
But it does a good job in, what's the word I'm looking for? It's very atmospheric in the way because it almost takes place entirely in the house. And it does a good job in, like, really kind of being eerie in that way and really kind of you know, when he walks that hallway with all those doors and he's like, you got the act and those nails were coming out. Like, it does a good job in building suspense at times, but the jump cuts, Batman.
Yeah.
So many. It's so many. Why are there so many?
Well, now, granted, the movie comes full circle and you can tell. You know, I mean, it's pointing to all these directions, but you know where it's going. And there were some pretty decent jump scares. You know, like I was telling you earlier, there was this maybe teenage, early 20s young woman sitting with her family. And there was just a couple of times where she would jump and she was, you know, she had her feet up. I'm like, she's sitting right in front of me. I'm like, oh, my God.
Right.
And I went to see this with my mother. She loves Nice. Scary movies. Okay. So she was like, do you want to go see Winchester? I said, yeah, of course. So there we went and saw it, and I will give my mother's review short here. I don't know, it wasn't that scary.
that's Nick's mom's review.
Yeah.
It wasn't. I mean, one of the things that scared me the most was like there's a scene where Jason Clarke, he's sitting in a room, bring that up real quick, Winchester. When Jason Clarke's sitting in a room, Dr. Eric P. Price, and he's looking in a mirror, and the mirror keeps turning to a chair, and he keeps turning it back. And after like the third time, you're like, okay, nothing's gonna happen. All of a sudden, it happens. Like that got me. That got me.
Yep.
But usually, you could see the jump scare coming, how the camera's set up, or like the angle they're using. You know, like yep, they don't want me to see it. Boom, there it is. Like, but it's like the whole like. The character opens the fridge and then shuts the fridge, or like the medicine cabinet in the bathroom, and there's the ghost. But there was a lot of that. I'm not sure how effective it is if you use it so much.
Mm-hmm. It makes me think, because I remember watching not really a documentary, but some on the Travel Channel, you know, when I was very young, and it, you know, it talked about this house. And so I was kind of interested in it. I was like, okay, so there's this staircase is going to nowhere. You know, there's
I wonder how true doors. That stuff is, too.
Well, I'd have to say it's got to be 100%, maybe. Maybe.
Oh, come on, really? I don't know.
Well, maybe not, you know, not the spirits.
It does say at the end that that's one of the most haunted mansions in North America, which is kind of cool.
Mm-hmm.
So the story is very loosely put together, and so much of it I think is unnecessary, especially Jason Clarke's backstory of his wife and the bullet he's still carrying. That is weird. But so Helen joining Jason Clarke, Helen Mirren, Sarah Snook, Emma Wiseman, Tyler Copen. There's some pretty fun things, and Eamon Farron, who plays Ben Block, but he's creepy all in his own right. But it's the story. Just I don't know if it holds together, and that's where the story in most horror films. That's the problem.
Yeah,
is the story just doesn't, because a lot of times characters like they jump these conclusions that are so unfounded, and like, oh, how did you come up with that?
Yeah,
like. And that's usually the problem with horror films. It's just so weird. But
I mean, in this one, what happens is the caretaker, the heir to the Winchester
estate.
Yeah, estate. She communicates, kind of, by the spirits, you know, drawing up architectural plans about rooms that the spirits can stay in. And I mean, I think that's where it kind of loses you a little bit.
Well, because it's so out there.
Yeah.
It's so far out there. That's the thing. Like, she's in the beginning. Helen Mirren's character, Sarah Winchester, is very aware that there are dark spirits in her house. Well, then leave the house.
Yeah,
lady. As being heir to the Winchester, you have so much money. Build another house.
You can build a house right next to that.
Build a house down the street.
Yeah.
You know, build an ice cream parlor. Just get out of the house. That's one thing about horror movies. Like, you don't, when they're like, my house is haunted. Well, then leave the house.
Mm-hmm.
Movie's a 5-minute movie. Done. Over. And then they left.
Well, we moved in and then we moved right back out.
And then they went to Kentucky and lived their lives. And the house still is haunted in Alabama. Whatever. But, yeah, get out of the house. There was one funny part in the very, very, very early stages where they're all sitting down for dinner. after Eric Price's character has accepted, he's like a doctor, and he's trying to evaluate how sound she is to be in the Winchester company still. Mm-hmm. He's trying to like evaluate if she's crazy or not. And they're sitting down for dinner, and they're waiting for something, and he keeps looking at his glass and looking at the servant, and he's like, he's like doing the same with his eye, like, why don't you put some alcohol in my glass for me? Servant's like, stand there stoic. By the way, that servant, that's the twist later that he doesn't?
I think so.
Maybe that's why. It's funny because no one's responding to Eric's at the. You see the shot of him like winking at the servant, and then like you see a shot of Helen Mirren's character like it's who are you looking at? Yeah. And like it's weird because like it's doesn't make sense till later, but like it's so funny because no one is responding to him. Mm. That's why I think that part's very funny.
And that's interesting because it seems like that's the person that he communicates with the most.
Exactly. It seems like. You know what'd be funny is if someone made a trilogy of movies and that was the relationship between a character is the main character's been talking to this person the whole time.
Just doesn't exist.
Like how crazy would that be, even in a trilogy of movies? Like that'd be pretty. How nuts would that be? Jeez Louise.
Sixth Sense on steroids.
That's some Sixth Sense stuff right there. You know what? I don't want to talk about too much though, because it is an interesting movie. And Jason Clarke is great, and so is Helen Mirren.
Yeah, yeah.
I thought it was weird Helen Mirren took this role. Do you think it's weird?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely out of her forte. Maybe, not really. You know, I mean, playing an heiress, you know, a pretty rich woman, I guess.
But this didn't have to be someone of her quality.
Yeah.
Like, the role didn't require... It could have been... It adds to the role, certainly.
Yeah.
But it just... I kept asking myself, why Helen Mirren? Else. Why is she in this movie? Is she not doing another Queen movie? Or no more royalty movies that have been made?
Maybe she saw the script and she was like, you know what? This could be interesting.
It's possible, I guess. But Jason Clarke is good. Mm-hmm. He's very good, actually.
And it's interesting. I like telling the movie because Jason Clarke does like his elixirs and... All that jazz, all the, you know, pre-medicine, where it's basically just opioids in the...
This place takes like 1906.
Yeah.
So, yeah, 1906, California.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
And he's a guest in the Winchester estate. She's like, well, you gotta be sound of mind if you're gonna...
evaluate me.
Yeah, if you're gonna evaluate me, I want you to be sound of mind also. I thought that was very interesting, and
she's not crazy, which the first time you meet her, even though it's just weird, like she walks up and sits down and then takes off her, like you know she's not. I mean, she could be eccentric, but you know she's not crazy before we even meet her, because we live vicariously through Eric Price, and like he's entering the mansion for the first time ever, and like we're entering the mansion for the first time ever, and like he doesn't. We've had a few run-in with ghosts already before we meet her.
Yeah.
And that's the interesting part. It's like, okay, well, let's go. So she's not crazy. Mm. We know she's not crazy. Yeah. So that's kind of the fun part is who thinks she's crazy and who doesn't think she's crazy. I also like her minions. Those are fun. The guys that, like, just held shotguns, like, stood next to her the whole time. Yeah. Like, that would have been a cool role to play. But
yeah. I forget who that was because...
Like the actor?
Yeah. Who was like her right hand, like that was carrying the Winchester?
I think it might have been Angus Simpson. Angus Sampson. Yeah, Jet Hansen. Yeah.
What else has he?
Mad Max, Insidious. Mad Max.
Okay.
He's in the TV show Fargo. Yeah, he's in quite a few things.
Okay. Yeah.
Oh, he's Insidious last. He was just in.
He's the guy. He's.
He's one of the two. Techie dude. Yeah.
That's okay. So that's where I was wondering because he did look familiar, and so that's interesting.
I did like more than I should have, more than anyone should have. That there's a scene where Eric Price, the thing like he he is able to put to rest his backstory with his wife and, yeah, and the bullet, and that actually is very kind of touching in a way.
Yeah, and it's definitely interesting how they play it out. Interesting in it being so touching, or like you feel for him.
You really do, and the music at the time is really good.
Yeah.
Like that's like your reward for watching Winchester, is you get to see that kind of emotional closure for him, even though that has no bearing on the story whatsoever. But I mean, that is what helps him in the battle. Like it's kind of weird how it all connects together, but I mean, it's kind of touching in a way in a horror movie. Like I kind of dug it. The bullet, like the one bullet he has. It's almost like the Patriot thing. Like when Mel's character is fighting the British, and like he always reaching and getting the balls out of his bag, and like then he reaches in and he realizes he only has one more, and it's his son's last soldier that he melted down into bullets. And like it's almost like it's kind of like a touching, like that kind of scene. But I did enjoy. It's almost like the plant payoff, like the risk and reward. So, although that was pretty cool. I didn't... You know, it's weird. For all the promotions I've seen for Winchester and all, like, the YouTube videos, like Jason Clark talking about Helen Mirren talking about it, I had a hard time getting excited. But when I left the theater, I was genuinely pleased with the movie.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't upset about it. Definitely.
I was upset about the new daughter. If I see Kevin Costner, I'm asking him why he made that movie. And then when he turns to walk away, I say, no, Kevin Costner, why did you make that? Answer me right now, you piece of crap.
I deserve an answer.
I deserve an answer. I get my 2 hours back. Jeez. But I like this one. I didn't mind it. I thought it was fun. I mean, this is one I will undoubtedly on Amazon or Netflix one day, turn it on while I'm eating dinner and falling asleep.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. So. Yeah, it's definitely one of those movies where, you know, it's a respectable rewatch.
Especially because you know how it plays out, you might catch some things you wouldn't have caught before. Winchester is I would absolutely watch it. It's a good horror. As far as it's got a few good jump scares, you'll get your money's worth. Especially if you have MoviePass, it's all free anyway. So please enjoy that. Watch it. Tweet the show. Let us know if you liked the emotional closure he had with his wife. I'm guessing a lot of people won't. But again, me, I'm just a romantic guy. So moving, the new streaming section of ads, it's my week. So it's actually on Amazon right now, and I'd forgotten, but James Mangold, the same guy who made Logan, also made 310 to Yuma with Russell Crowe and Christian Bale, which is interesting because it's in the same time period as Hostiles. Oh. Literally within the same 3 or 4 years. Like within 3 or 4 years Hostiles was in. So, and it's Christian Bale, and this one is a rancher, not a U.S. military. Well, he used to be a U.S. military man that got his foot shot off. So, but I like Russell Crowe, man. I really wished his career would have panned out a little better than it did. But
I mean, he's definitely been in some big movies.
Hit Gladiator is that's a hell of a movie.
Fantastic.
Yeah, I mean, and just his career never really like did anything Gladiator level again, which is what I expected, because boy, if anyone could look at you and give you the I'm gonna kill you look, Russell Crowe can do that very well.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
So
the nice guys, Mr.
Oh, with Ryan with Hey Girl
Gosling.
Ryan Gosling.
Yeah. I mean, that was the most recent movie that I've seen with him in, and I thought I enjoyed it.
There you go.
It's a, you know, I mean, it's 70s detectives, you know, looking for answers.
I'm in my Russell Crowe mode now, so yeah. I will watch, I own the Blu-ray for Les Miserables.
Oh,
okay. I'll watch that undoubtedly, and just every time I look at him, I'm like, God, that man cannot sing. He cannot sing. Why did you take this movie? Why would you do that to yourself? That's like knowing you can't dance and telling a girl you're gonna take her to a first date to dance. Why would you do that? It's like setting yourself up for failure. Jeez,
oh,
what?
Like, hey, you want to go salsa dancing tonight?
And you don't know how to salsa dance at all.
There's no actual salsa in this.
None whatsoever. And that, of course, that brings us to the Clark Kay submission. with the theme of this week being the horror, I decided to go with one of my favorite horror movies of all time, Aliens. Well, 1996, that's James Cameron, my boy James. Ooh, James Cameron. This is Sigourney Weaver, Bill Paxton, Michael Biehn, Paul Reiser, Lance Henriksen, Carrie Henn, Jeanette Goldstein, one that James Cameron used over and over again. He used her in Titanic, used her in Terminator 2. So Jeanette Goldstein is no stranger to James Cameron. After the events of the first Alien, they set down on LV-426 and pick up an alien life form, and it destroys the crew. And it comes down to a very climactic battle between Sigourney Weaver Ripley and the alien, who are both in the very vulnerable forms, and she ends up blowing the alien out of the airlock. And she is picked up 50 years later, where we've been aliens, and she's charged with blowing up her star freighter, which is a very expensive move, and they lose contact with the colony they've put on LV-426, and the movie is Marines go to check out what it is. They don't know if it's a down transmitter, they don't know what's happened, but Ripley goes back to LV-426, and the Marines battle a hive of aliens. And it's as good a horror, which is weird because the first movie was horror and sci-fi, and then the second movie added action and war to it. It's almost like those two kind of themes. And it's as good a movie as you're going to see.
Yeah,
I think two of the most iconic guns in cinema history, the pulse rifle and the smart gun, they make that very weird sound that you just, once you hear, you'll never forget it. Some of the best character, you know, from Hudson, the Game Over Man game, that's where we get Game Over Man, Game Over. That's where we get that from. We get, you know, I love Hicks, Michael Biehn's character. Newt is a great character. It's a great movie. You will not be disappointed with that choice. It's a hell of a movie. So thank you for listening this week. I appreciate that. Thank you very much, Nick. Say thank you to our listeners.
Thanks, guys. it's been a pleasure filling your ears with our words.
With our lovely words.
Yes.
As always, you can find the show on iTunes under For the Love of Cinema. You can check out the new Facebook page, For the Love of Cinema, the same name. For Android users, Google Play or Podbean. You can download directly from Podbean, Android or iTunes users. Please check us out. Check out the new Facebook page. And send us a message, send us a tweet, or to the Facebook page of maybe some horror movies you like. I'm always curious to see what people like in horror movies. Horror is not my genre. I'm not a big fan of the horror genre. I've studied it the least. I've looked into it the least. I do love Aliens, but let me know what some of your favorite horror movies are, and maybe we'll feature your answer on an episode, or maybe you can call in or you can be on the episode. But we might do a horror-centric episode soon. I think that'd be kind of cool.
Be interesting.
So thank you as always, and have a good evening. Wait, you want to say goodbye, Nick?
Sorry, yeah. Hey, goodbye, everyone. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter and interact with us on social media.
Dang, I forgot all that, didn't I?
Let us hear what you have to say, you know?
Help us to help you.
Yeah.
Help us to help you. So anyway, this is, again, signing off. Goodbye, and Nick, say goodbye to our listeners.
Hey, see you, everyone.